So we're holding in Masechet Sanhedrin. We are? We're live?
Yeah.
Broadcasting to the nations. To all the nations, to the 70 nations. Those that can understand my English anyway. Tov. We are Masechet Sanhedrin, Kaf Hey, zooming along. Amud Aleph, 25A. We are learning about playing dice. We're learning how not to gamble, and if you do gamble, what it means. So we have two different opinions. Well, let's start with the beginning. Our Mishnah says, person who gambles, dice player, is passed from being a judge
or
being a witness. Okay, that's the beginning. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ematai, when is a person, according to Rabbi Yehuda, disqualified from being a judge if he's a gambler? Yeah, he's passel, and Rabbi Yehuda said, when is he passel? When he doesn't have another job. So that's Rabbi Yehuda said that in our Mishnah. We didn't know, we looked yesterday at whether or not Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was a second opinion. He was arguing, meaning there was a first opinion in the Mishnah that says you are disqualified, full stop. And Rabbi Yehuda comes and argues and says, no, you're not disqualified, full stop. It's only if you don't have another job. And he's arguing with opinion number one in the Mishnah. Opinion number one is Rabbanan, let's say. Rabbanan holds there is no qualification. If you're a gambler, you're a gambler. Why? And if that's true, then that would fit with our Gemara. Our Gemara gave us two opinions of the dispute, the underlying dispute, says Rami Bar Chama, is because the reason you're disqualified is because it's an asmachta. An asmachta, if you take money on the basis of an asmachta, it's like gezel. And therefore, you can't be a judge, and it doesn't matter whether you have another job or not. You're a thief. Rav Shesha says, no, I disagree with that opinion. I don't think this is an asmachta at all. I have a different understanding of what an asmachta is. So it's not an asmachta here. The reason why the Mishnah said you cannot be a judge if you gamble is because you're doing nothing useful to help the world. And therefore, Rav Shesha says, perhaps he agrees with Rav Yehuda, that if you are doing something useful to help the world, then you're not disqualified. So that's what the Gemara suggested would fitted in the two opinions of Rabbi Bar Chama and Rav Shesha in the Gemara.
According to the first opinion, then why didn't the Mishnah list a thief as someone who's disqualified to being a judge or a witness?
Great, very good answer.
No, that was a question.
Okay, no, very good question, sorry. Was that your word answer? I don't know what words come out of my mouth. Very good question. So, I think because a thief is one of the obvious ones, meaning a thief is, the Mishnah doesn't need to tell me, or it's written somewhere else, this Mishnah is coming to tell me those ones I wouldn't have known. Right, all of these are not clear. He's in all of these places, the gambler, the bird, the pigeon racer, the person who gathered shviit, like they're not obvious that I would disqualify them. But these are all chidushim, if you like. This is a mission of chidushim, it's not a mission of basics. There might be another mission which says murderers, thieves, relatives, and women, right? All the really nasty ones, right? They're all disqualified. That might be a basic, but that's obvious, right? But who would let, right? So that's not in this mission.
Okay.
This mission is Kiddushim, things that you wouldn't have known.
But it's a logical question.
Yeah, it's a very good question. For sure, Kal v'chomer, if we're learning out that to have something in your hand which is like Gezel, but it's not really Gezel, then Kal v'chomer, Gezel itself, for sure. Yeah?
Even
if I don't have another source of a Mishnah, I can make a clear Kal v'chomer from this Mishnah to Feth itself. The theft itself for sure disqualifies. Okay. Right. So we're still trying to work out how Rav Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet fit in. So according to what we attempted to do, it seemed to work. We said if we've got a dispute in the Mishnah and we've got two opinions in the Mishnah, then it works nicely. Each one of our Amorayim is simply following one of the opinions in the Mishnah. Rav Sheshet is following Rav Yehuda, and Rami Bar Chama is following Rabbanan. Yes? Yeah? Do you want me to write that up? Rabbanan are the one who is saying you're disqualified in any event. And Rabbi Yehuda, right, in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, who is Pasul? Gambler, dice players. If that is a separate opinion by itself, then we can say Rabbanan have a complete blanket rule. All dice players are prohibited. Why? Because they have Gezel. And it doesn't matter if they have another job. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is arguing on that, saying, no, I disagree. It's only in the case where they don't have another job. I disagree with the first opinion of the Mishnah, with Rabbanan. And therefore, those two opinions now mirror into our Gemara, the opinions of Rabbi Bar Chama and the opinion of Rav Sheshet. Rabbi Bar Chama, who says it's Gezel, follows the opinion of Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan don't allow you to be a judge, even if you have a job. And that's like Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama says, it's Gezel full stop. It doesn't matter whether you've got another job or not. Once you've got Gezel in your hand, that's it. But Rav Sheshet says, no, it does matter whether you have another job. It has nothing to do with Gezel. That is whether or not you're involved in settling the world. And that, Rav Sheshet's opinion, would follow exactly Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, when are you disqualified? Only if you haven't got another job. So our two opinions in the Mishnah, if we have two opinions, reflect the two opinions of the Gemara. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Ruben, you're good? Yeah? So now I have a problem. If we say he's arguing, so it's clear, it works. But now we're saying, but wait a minute, it doesn't work. We're saying he's not arguing. If we say he's not arguing, right, we have proofs from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, who both hold that whenever Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says Ematai, he's not coming to dispute, he's coming to clarify to the Faresh. Right? And if he's coming only to the Faresh, he's not arguing with the rabbis. He's saying, I'm telling you what the rabbis mean. Right? So there's only one opinion in our Mishnah. The one opinion in the Mishnah follows what Rabbi Yehuda said. And Rabbanan don't have a separate opinion that they disqualify all dice gamblers, regardless. No such opinion exists. It's not true. It was a nice hypothesis, it's not true. So then, now we're back to a problem. How does Rabbi Bar Chama make his statement that it's Gezel, based on a smach that it's Gezel, and therefore you're always disqualified? No one in the Mishnah appears to follow him. Or the other way around, he appears not to be following anyone in the Mishnah, he has to be following someone. Okay, so that's where we left it yesterday. Okay, good.
Could I toss something else in?
No, you can try. I might toss it back at you.
I'm trying to find it. It's when the dice player wants to do tshuva, they're saying that he has to completely destroy his dice, and he can't do it again.
All right, are we going to come on to that?
I
didn't get there yet. You're ahead of me.
I'm trying to find
places.
It.
I didn't get there.
Basically,
it's good. You keep me on my toes.
Then, if they're saying that,
yes,
then they're assuming that you can't even do it, as a pastime.
Why?
Because you have to just totally completely destroy your dice.
Right, but that fits with both of them. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, hold on. Let's think about that. If you have to destroy them. Right, so that goes against Rabbi Yehuda.
I'm trying to find it.
Can Rabbi Yehuda allows you to play dice? Rabbi Yehuda allows you to play dice if you've got another job.
It's on 25B1. I think. Yeah, 25B1. When they break up their wooden cubes and affect the complete tshuva.
So, the point you just made, I'm sure that is what you were getting to, is that the manager, the owner of the casino, he's not playing dice, but he's benefiting. He has gezelik in his hands. He's not playing. He's sitting there sipping coke on his balcony. Look, who's got the money? Who's got the gezel? So again, that would split between his two opinions. Say that's fine. He's hiring people, he's serving the world, he's making pan, right? I'm not saying no, you've got gezel in your hand. Yes, sorry.
It was 25B1.
25B1.
One who plays with dice. This refers to those who play with wooden cubes, and this is said not only cubes but even nutshells and pomegranate peels. And when their repentance considered to have occurred is when they break up their wooden cubes and affect a complete tshuva.
Right, and then carry on the next bit, the next line.
That they do not engage in dice playing even for free.
Right. Not allowed to touch it.
So this goes back.
Even when you're not getting any money from it.
Right. So this goes back to the whole idea of gambling being totally addictive. I mean, that's why the 12-step program for it.
Okay, so let's. So, before we took our interlude, we were left with a problem, right? We're left with a kasha. We're stuck in the kasha at the moment. The kasha is, how does Rabbi Bar Hama say what he says when he's got no support in the Mishnah? Right, that's the kasha. Everyone okay with that kasha?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have an answer. I forgot my bottle. Yeah. Fred, I had a bottle for you, but I forgot it.
You forgot it?
Yeah, sorry. It was there on the table, and I see your face, and I remember that I forgot it.
There's a can here.
Tov, so what's the answer? How do we resolve Rabbi Bar Hama? The Gemara says like this. Gavra agavra karamit. What's a gavra? A gever. Can we call a gever?
A thief.
A gever?
A gever.
Means a guy. Means a bloke. A guy. A man.
I said, where are you?
25A1, second paragraph.
Second paragraph.
25A1?
Okay, 25A1. Yeah. Okay, so
gavra, gavra.
Okay. Oh, okay. Got it.
Gavra, gavra. Man to man, karamit, you are challenging. Okay, this is the answer. The answer is gavra gavra. The gavra here is the amora. We can't challenge, right? Let's put our template together. We can't challenge a Mishnah from an Amora, right? So if the Mishnah says something, then the Amora can't argue against it. So we learned before that our Mishnah said only like Rav Sheshet. So how can it be that Rabbi Bar Chama can challenge the Mishnah, can say something different? But the truth is, he's not. We're going to revise our earlier comment. We said before, how do we know this Mishnah is not arguing? If the Mishnah was arguing, it was two different opinions, everything was good. Right? If it was two different opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda arguing Rabbanan, so fine, everything's good, Rabbi Bar Chama follows Rabbanan, and we're good. We said, the reason we threw that out is we said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan both said, Eimatai, a farish. But here the Gemara is coming back and saying, you're right. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan both said he was saying the farish. But there are Amorayim.
I'm sorry, he's saying
the farish. He's saying to explain.
Okay.
He's saying that, right there, he's saying that whenever you see that word, Eimatai, he's coming to explain, he's not coming to argue. But Rami Bar Chama, who's an Amora, the same as Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yochanan, Rami Bar Chama can argue with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. They're on the same level to argue. So you're right, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, whenever you see this word, it means that they're agreeing, they're not arguing. And Rabbi Bar Chama says, I disagree with you. When you see the words Eimatai by Rabbi Yehuda, he's arguing. So it's we're arguing now on the level of the Amorayim about what they think about the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah said, right, we're going to call it Sefer and Resha, Resha and Sefer. The Resha of the Mishnah is, who is Pasul? Dice players. That's the ratio. The Sefer says when if has no other job. Are these two different opinions or are they the same thing? One opinion. So according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there's only one opinion, right? There's no argument, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is an Amora, right? And so too is Rami Bar Chama. And he's allowed to argue on him. Gavra agavra. That's where the argument is down here, the Gemara said. Gavra agavra karamit. Rabbi Bar Chama is just arguing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I don't agree that there's only one opinion. I think there's two opinions. I think this is Rabbanan and this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda. So that's how I say Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama now has two opinions, and if I've got two opinions, then fine, I'm going with this one. Yeah. Rami Bar Chama says I go with Rabbanan, who say always pasul, right? Because of Gezel. He follows Rabbanan. I think there's two opinions, and one of them is Rabbanan, who is say they're always pasul, there's no qualification. what's not clear. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the Tanakhama. Okay, so that brings us out of the problem, right? We had a kasha. How did Rabbi Bar Chama fit with this Mishnah? I'll tell you how he fits. Rabbi Bar Chama thinks there's two opinions in the Mishnah, and that's why he fits. He came across that Mishnah. He said, "Oh, this Mishnah has two opinions. So I go by the first one." You think there's one opinion? Fine. You're allowed to think there's one opinion. I think there's two. I'm allowed to interpret the Mishnah. I'm an Amora. You're an Amora. You think there's one opinion. I think there's two.
We still don't have
any opinions. No, currently we have my pocket as to how many opinions there are in the Mishnah. Right, Rabbi Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet. So far, let's see.
So basically, one opinion is saying that if he's a full-time gambler, he's completely disqualified. If he has a trade and he's benefiting society, he just gambles on the side, he's sort of okay.
He's perfectly okay. He's allowed.
He's allowed.
He's allowed. That's Rav Sheshet. That's Rav Yehuda and Rav Sheshet. So he's allowed. Okay. So the Gemara answered. Let's see it inside. Gavra agavra karamit. One man against another man is challenging here, right? That's what's going on. Marasavah plige, Marasavah lo plige. One of them thinks plige, there's an argument, there's a dispute in the Mishnah. But Marasavah lo plige, and the other one thinks there's no dispute, right? The one that thinks that there is a dispute is Rabbi Bar Chama, who says they're arguing, there's a dispute in the Mishnah, there's two opinions. Amar, Rav Sheshet, thinks there's no dispute. Okay. The Gemara questions that. But wait a minute. Velo plige, and they're not arguing. V'atanya, we had a brighter. Ben sheyesh lo umanut shelohu. Whether or not he's got another job besides this. Ben she'ein lo umanut, or whether he has no other job. Elahu, apart from this, by the gambling, Hareze Pasul. He is Pasul. We see that we have another brighter. What does the brighter say? And now the brighter, whether he has another job or not. He is passive. What is that brighter
that
follow, support, challenge?
The first one.
The first one
that says that dice players are puzzle.
Which follows, give me names.
Rabbanan.
Rabbanan and...
Rav
Sheshet. Rav
Sheshet.
Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama says... they're always disqualified because they have gezer. Rav Sheshet said, if he had another job, you're not disqualified. Okay? So this writer now supports Rabbi Bar Chama, that he does have a correct position in stating that this is actually an argument, and it's not like we first, that like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shul ben Levi hold. He's got a brighter to support him.
Okay.
Yeah? But wait a minute. Some more twists and turns. Can we rely on that brighter as good support here? Why not? Gemara says, Hahi, that, meaning that brighter, Hahi Rabbi Yehuda. That writer is a Rabbi Yehuda writer. Duh. It's a Rabbi Yehuda writer, you should have known. Why? What's wrong with there being a Rabbi Yehuda writer? Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. This is The problem with this writer being a supporting evidence in this case is, right, we want to say this is very nice, this supports very nicely our position of Rabbi Baham. But the Gemara says, you know what? This is a Rabbi Tarpan. This is a Rabbi Tarpan writer. We'll see in the second one as a problem. It's a Rabbi Tarpan writer. So let's read on and see what's wrong with being a Rabbi Tarpan writer. Why is that? Titania, like it was taught in a different writer. We're going to learn a new writer now that's going to explain to us why this writer is not so helpful. Titania, Rabbi Yehuda Amer Mishum Rabbi Tarfan. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Tarfan. Lo'olam ein echad mehen nazir. Lo'olam, always, or never, always, ein echad mehen nazir. Neither one of them is a nazir. What's going on? So you have to know the Breitot a little bit, or have footnotes to understand what the case is. Here we're coming in on the back end of a Breitot. The Breitot here is explaining a case. What's the case? Two men are sitting there sipping coffee, or in the pub, or whatever they are, sitting in yeshiva looking out the window, and they see a guy coming in the distance. For whatever reason, we don't know why, but for whatever reason, one turns to the other and says, I bet that guy's a Nazir. And the other one said, the first one says, I bet you 100 shekel that guy's a Nazir. That guy coming down the road here, you're going to see when he gets here, we'll ask him. But I bet he's a Nazir. I know him, he's a Nazir. Yeah. For whatever reason, he decided that he was a Nazir. And the other one said to him, no, you're wrong. I know that guy too. I bet you 100 shekel that he's not a Nazir. No. Let me start again. That's not the case of the writer. That's nearly the case of the writer. Scrap that. The scenario is similar, but the betting is different. He says like this. There's a guy coming down the road, and there's two guys watching him. And one says to the other, you see that guy? I think he's a Nazir. And I'm so convinced that he is a Nazir, that if I'm wrong, I'll be a Nazir. I'll take on myself a Nazir. And the other one says to him, you're wrong. He's definitely not a Nazir. And I'm so sure that he's definitely not a Nazir that if I'm wrong, I'll take upon myself Nazir. And the Gemara and the writer says, this is where we come in, the writer, Lo'olam ein echad mehem Nazir. Never, or actually, or there will never be, one of them will be a Nazir. Neither one of those individuals will become a Nazir. In that situation, right, he's coming down the road. For sure one of them was correct. He either is or he isn't. And one says, if he is, I'm so sure he is, that if he's not, I'll be a Nazir. And the other one says, I'm so sure he's not, that if he is, then I'll be a Nazir.
But that's not a proper vow or oath.
That's why. So the writer says, in some cases it would be. In the case of Nazirut only, it wouldn't be. In the case of Nazirut, that writer comes to teach us that you cannot take on an oath of Nazirut without explicit wording for Nazirut. If you said, you were sitting with your friend, and you said, that guy's a Nazir, I bet you 100 shekel. And the other one said, no, he's not, I bet you 100 shekel he's not. And he came and said, no, are you? So whoever was wrong has to pay up. It's binding. Asmata, whatever, well, it's aside, but it's good. But the fact that what you bet on was Nazirut, that you were going to be a Nazir, so you can't make yourself a Nazir without explicit wording. Why not? Lefi, the Gemara says, Lefi shelo nitzna Nazirut ela lahafla'a, because Nazirut was not given except for hafla'a. Hafla'a means here clear clarity, clear utterance. Right, a person can't take on Nazirut unless they clearly say, I hereby take it upon myself to blah, 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 blah.
For example,
after seeing a sota, or for whatever reason. Right, but he has to say those words clearly. It's not, can't be done in this fashion. Okay, that's in brackets, that's the brighter. Right? That brighter is Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon thinks according to that writer. How does that fit in with our sugya? Right? We brought this writer in order to say that our writer over here is not helpful. So one set of attacks. The fact that Rabbi Tarfon holds that you can't take on Nazirut without making an explicit declaration to that effect means that Rabbi Tarfon holds Rabbi Tarfon holds that even in the case where the a declaration is made on the basis of something that's not in your control. We're back to this scenario. Whether it's in your control or not. When the man comes along, and we don't know if he is a Nazir or not, we don't know who's going to win in this bet. Not really a bet. They're not when I get one's taking on a zero for himself, and I'm taking on a zero. I'm not betting you anything. There's no exchange of money. There's no gambling. There's no dice playing. Right? I'm taking on an oath based on an event that I don't know yet, but it's now similar enough to gambling that I can make a comparison. I'm basing an oath, basing an agreement on something which I don't yet know the answer to. I'm basing my declaration to be a Nazir dependent on something that is out of my hands, something that I don't know, dependent on someone else, dependent on this guy comes along and says he's a Nazir, then I have to follow that. So the fact that Rabbi Tarfon holds that it's not binding means that Rabbi Tarfon holds that that's an asmata. It's a non-binding agreement. You said that you were going to do something based on a factor that was unknown to you. According to Rabbi Tarfon, that's an asmata. If I say, I'm going to give every single person in this class 100 shekels if we can only get 10 people to come to my shiur, right? And then you go around the Beit Midrash and promise everyone 50 shekels to get them in, right? So you can make, right? And then they come. It's an asmata. It's out of my hands. I don't know if that's going to happen. So according to Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion, if you agree something based on something that's out of your hands, different.
If you really want to have 10 minutes,
and
he
don't want to pay.
He doesn't really want to become a Nazir.
Ah, Nachon, you're right. Okay, that's good.
So
that's also the hashkafa.
Yeah.
So there is a question of hashkafa with the commitment and the intent.
Yeah.
So here,
yeah.
So here he's saying that this Rabbi Tarfon holds that this is asmata because something you don't know, it's outside of your control. And this, therefore, Rabbi Tarfon now agrees with the first Rabbi Bar Hama about gambling, right? That in the case of something you don't know what's going to be, we can call it an asmata. Where Rabbi Sheshet said you can't call that an asmata. Rav Sheshet would not agree. Rav Sheshet would say, it's binding, you're held by it. Rav Sheshet says it's only where it was in your control. I remember Rav Sheshet's opinion on the Asmata is when it's in your control. If I finish this job on time, I'm not going to have to pay the penalty. Right? I know that I'm not going to, I've got that at this moment, I'm not going to pay it. Therefore, it's an achmata, I never intended to pay it. But when it's not in my control, according to Rav Sheshet, there's a possibility I might have to pay, like in gambling. He said the reason why an achmata doesn't apply in gambling is because you know you might have to pay. 50-50 chance, for example. So you're going to have to pay up on this hand. Therefore, because you know it's in your awareness that you might have to pay, you agreed it. But the reason a real achmata is where you know for sure in your own mind, it's in your control, you're not going to have to pay. Even if you end up paying because something went wrong. But at the time, it was in your hands. So here, in the case of Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon holds here that the case of the Nazir coming along is an asmata. Because it's out of your hands. And Rav Sheshet would say, no, it's not an asmata. So because Rabbi Tarfon is already holding in the other camp, Rabbi Tarfon is already holding a different case of asmachta, then we can say that really this writer follows Rabbi Tarfon. Asmachta even when not in your hands. Even when not in your hands, it's still an asmachta.
Then what about the pigeon racer?
Hold the pigeon racer for a second. I'm still stuck on this. Right? So if it's true that Rabbi Tarfon holds, and this is a Rabbi Tarfon writer, right, when this goes followed by Rabbi Tarfon, that an asmachta is only even when it's not in your hands, then we are saying that this is why it is a support for Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama is the one that held that gambling is an asmachta. Rabbi Bar Chama said gambling equals asmachta. Equals Gezel, equals disqualified. Right, that was his reason from the beginning. Therefore, so what have we got? So therefore, this writer is now still a support, but it doesn't prove. This Mishnah. It doesn't prove what the real answer to this Mishnah is. We don't know in this Mishnah whether there's one opinion or two opinions. Who was right? Did it go like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who said Rabbi Yehuda is just coming to the Faresh? Right? And it's only one opinion. Or is it like Rabbi Bahama trying to say, no, it's two opinions? Now you might have thought that when we brought this brighter, and the brighter says, clearly like Rabbanan, that it must be that actually there's two opinions. I've got a brighter. Brighter's not the level of a Mishnah, but it's secondary. Right? So it could be that this brighter proves the fact that actually there's two different opinions here. But we're saying no. We could still use it as the fourth Rabbi Bahama, but this writer is taking the opinion of an asmata, even when it's in someone else's hands, which is not the universal opinion. Rav Sheshet argues with that. So the writer doesn't become a proof for the Mishnah, it just becomes a support for Rabbi Bahama. Yes?
I would toss in two or three other things. The listing of the pigeon racers, they're saying that, where are we? I'm trying to find the quote. They're comparing pigeon racers with dice players and saying that the person who's doing it says, my skill
is what counts. And I'm trying to find who's quoting this. The 25B. The skill of the clackers, or the skill of my hands,
okay,
for the dice players, the skill of the clackers for the pigeon racers.
Okay.
I'm better than my opponents at banging the clackers together to motivate the pigeons.
You're right.
So he's assuming he'll win rather than lose.
And therefore?
And therefore, it wouldn't be as an asmakta, because he's assuming that he'll win. No, I take that back. It would be an asmakta, because he's assuming he'll win. He, so it'd be like Gezel.
If he's assuming he's going to win.
And he loses.
If he's assuming he's going to win. So he is committed.
Right.
He is committed, and it's not an asthma.
It's not an asthma, okay.
No, you're wrong. Sorry, it is an asthma. If he's committed, if he thinks he's going to win, then he's not intending to give the money over.
Right.
So that is an asthma.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So it's an additional proof.
Proof for who?
Proof that it's Gezel. And he's completely disqualified. I'm just trying to find who's quoting this.
Uh-huh. Okay, nice.
Where is this? Rav Hami Bar Ohaya. Yeah, we're talking about pigeon decoys and then continuing on. Yes, I think so.
Are we moving? You want to say something?
It's the name of Rabbi Tafel.
Rabbi what?
You say the idea of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Tafel.
Yeah.
So we have the same opinion.
Ah, I see. Is it the same Rabbi Yehuda? No. Maybe.
When it's one opinion. So when the Rav Tafon find out that he is the same with the Rabbanan, so it means Rabbi Yehuda.
No, because it's saying different opinions. Because Rabbi Yehuda over here in the Mishnah is saying only, Rabbi Yehuda says only if he has no other job. But in the writer, he says whether he's got a job or not. So it's a different opinion. So if you say it's the same Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rav Tafon, who had a different opinion. And then why Rabbi Yehuda is quoting someone else with a different opinion, I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. Thank you.
know.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay.